Thank you. I'll be rather brief because Emily and Janet have done a nice job of covering some of the implementation issues. I'd like to acknowledge other members of our team, Michelle Clock of Altarum, Cynthia Woodcock, who was at IMPACT, now at the Hilltop Institute. Erkan Erdem was of IMPACT, now at KPMG. Sarah Peterson, who's here today, from IMPACT, and Susan Jenkins from the Administration for Community Living. No relationships to disclose. I'll go just briefly over the context, which I think has already been covered. What I'm going to talk about today are some of the dissemination and implementation issues that come up with the chronic disease self-management program. We also looked at the ERA-funded programs from 2010 to 2012 and used the same NCOA data set. We focused on a number of things as part of the process evaluation. This is available online at the ACL website. But the part that I'm going to speak about today is on the development of the infrastructure and the areas that states had challenges and where they came up with some best practices for delivering the program. As Emily had mentioned before, the Communities Putting Prevention to Work initiative was implemented in 45 states, the District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico, and it was implemented both by departments of public health and by departments of aging. And you can see here on this map where the lead agency was aging is the burgundy, the red color, and green is where the lead agency was public health. In all cases, both public health and aging were expected to be working together. The gray area is states that did not receive the ERA grants, and they tend to be, as you can see, in rather sparsely populated rural areas. We've heard about some of the background of the Chronic Disease Self-Management Program. Again, it was developed in the 1990s. It's grounded in Bandura's self-efficacy theories. It's a series of 6 2.5-hour sessions moderated by a couple of two peers. It's curriculum-based and it has clear fidelity standards. One thing that Stanford has done, Kate Lorig and her team, they've developed a lot of very useful materials that support implementation of the program. And these were available to the grantees of the program. I'll also mention that NCOA, Emily's group, did provide technical assistance to the sites throughout the implementation period. It's CDSMP is a very interactive problem-solving kind of uses a problem-solving format. We actually went on site in several areas and watched the participants and participated with them in some cases as they moved through it. Here is just a brief schematic of the different sources of data that we used for the national process evaluation overall. Everything from site visits in 6 states, which were Arkansas, California, Kansas, New York, Tennessee, and Vermont. We used a number of grantee site reports. We used some work that NCOA had done on sustainability and such. We also used the data that were required for submission by the grantees. And my colleague, Dr. Erdem, will be describing some of the findings from the quantitative analyses next. Here are the areas that we really looked at. There was a great deal of variation overall. I'm going to skip through a lot of this, but the bottom line is that grantees, whether they were aging programs or public health programs, tended to use either a centralized or a decentralized approach. Some of them shared the responsibilities or used a mixed model. We also looked at things like the delivery infrastructure, resource allocation, leader training, which was a big one, and CDSMP licensure. In terms of program oversight and administration, we found that a lot of centralized functions were those that were specific to CDSMP. And when I talk about centralized functions, I mean those are the types of functions that perhaps the state that oversaw the program may have provided to sites. I'll add that usually there would be a state grantee, whether it would be aging or public health. They would then distribute the funding through organizations at the community level, such as area agencies on aging, YMCAs, YWCAs, even churches would be receiving them in some areas. Other states tended to use decentralized models, particularly those areas that had a strong history of local delivery systems. California, for example, has very large expanses that are not very well populated, and so that they tended to, although they had a statewide approach, they tended to focus on different areas within the state. Delivery infrastructure, again, delivery infrastructure sometimes was decentralized. Again, using both public health and aging made quite a bit of difference. Aging was very much, really helped to serve the needs of older adults more effectively, and oftentimes minorities were more readily reached through public health systems. Hawaii had a very interesting model, and I'll just mention this because it's a good example where you have a number of islands, and they basically would, each island was responsible for their own delivery system, and they typically ran it through the area agencies on aging on each island. Here are the kinds of activities that really are required or were required by the ERA-funded CDSMP. A state grantee would need to be giving some thought to how are they going to allocate the resources to the different sites where the actual delivery was going on. How would fidelity be monitored? A lot of CDSMP really depends on the program being delivered precisely in the way, often with some adaptations for special populations, but there are a number of fidelity requirements, everything from how you train the workshop leaders to how you use the curriculum for actual delivery. Data collection and monitoring, all of the grantees were required to submit data. Leaders had to be trained. There are very precise requirements for that. There are licensing, which are more administrative requirements, and then program communications and marketing and recruiting. Those are very critical activities, and I'd say that of the ones that states tended to struggle with most, it's probably the program recruitment and marketing, especially those states that didn't have a history of a lot of evidence-based programming in their state. Okay, what did we learn? And I'll go through these very quickly. Centralization and decentralization could be used strategically to enhance capacity. Really what we saw a lot of is that states really tried to make some kind of an assessment. Some were more rigorous and systematic about how they did it. But how could they pull together the different components within their state to meet the requirements of delivery and oversight of CDSMP? Aging and public health partnerships enhanced capacity in state systems. In some of the systems, and if we go back to the map, we had originally we can see that some of the states that tended to be more rural tended to rely more heavily on public health systems. The area health education systems were often used to reach populations, older populations. State and local assessments and monitoring of strengths and gaps in capacity supports planning and helps avoid problems later. Kate Lorig and her group did an early study of CDSMP, a process evaluation, back in 2004, and we came to the same conclusion there. It makes a lot of difference whether you make that assessment, and when you make an initial assessment, continue to get feedback as the program continues to be implemented, because things can easily fall through the cracks. Partnerships were important tools for extending access to new populations and resources. One of the fascinating areas of partnership were some of the partnerships with the VA, the Veterans Administration, for reaching that population. Okay, I'm seeing the one. And also in New Jersey, they partnered with the Office of Minority Health to reach a lot of the underserved minority populations. Collaborations multiply the power of partnerships. We saw, and Emily had mentioned, some of the collaborations that were established early on with some Administration on Aging work. Those can be challenging, but especially in times when budgets are tight, it helps to have more partners to keep something afloat and stable. Adaptations can enhance and may be needed for successful dissemination with specific population groups and locales. We did quite a bit of specific work on that area and looked at a lot of specific adaptations that were made, everything from changes in the name of a program to starting with a prayer, for example, in some areas. Fidelity monitoring can be conducted efficiently when resources are shared across sites. That was a tough aspect. How is fidelity going to be monitored? It can be expensive if you can really go from a relatively low-intensity monitoring approach to what other states were using that were much more intensive. But when this could be done statewide, you not only tended to get more standardization across the state, but it also was a good use of resources. Centralizing leader training and deployment can help with issues of right-sizing the workforce. Again, this is a challenge, especially in some of the rural areas. We have two more. I'm quick here. State and regional central support for communications, marketing, and outreach is often needed. The reason for that is those were very specific activities regarding CDSMP. So most states really didn't have infrastructure in place to do that. And finally, the right people and a realistic assessment of organizational strengths and weaknesses can make all the difference in implementation. I'll emphasize that again. There's great variation out there. So when you get involved in implementing this statewide or even at the local level, just be sure that you know what you're getting into and do a quick assessment. There are a lot of assessment tools out there, and I encourage you all to use them. Thanks.